this week now, Alzheimer's disease. And the reason we've chosen to talk about it is because this week marks the 150th birthday of Alois Alzheimer, the man who first described the disease over 100 years ago in 1906. But what is Alzheimer's disease and how would you recognise it? The condition is one of a number of disorders that we collectively call dementias. These are progressive diseases that gradually rob sufferers of their mental faculties. They also become more common as we age. In countries like the UK, one in six people over the age of 80 are affected to some degree. But it also has a very profound effect on the people who care for victims of Alzheimer's.
Susie Hewer is a Guinness World Record holder for her extreme knitting. This year, she crocheted a 139-metre-long crochet chain while simultaneously running the London Marathon. Why did she do this? Well, to raise awareness for Alzheimer's after her mum, Peggy, developed the disease.
She started to get quite depressed. She was very withdrawn. Then the next phase was she started to have wandering incidents. And because she'd lived with us and my husband worked at home, it hadn't been really a problem until then. But one day he came downstairs and he found her sitting outside on the steps because he wondered where she was. And she said, well, I couldn't get in. And he said, well, why didn't you ring the doorbell? And she hadn't thought about that. The next thing that sort of changed our lives dramatically was I left her in the library while she chose a book. I went over the road to the cash point and came back again 5 minutes later and she wasn't there. So I looked up and down the road, couldn't see her, went running one way, and thankfully I found her walking really fast with her head down. I said, Mum, what's going on? She said, well, you've moved the car. I didn't know where you were, so I'm heading for home. She was heading in completely the wrong direction and the car was actually outside. So at that point, we realised that the wandering could become a problem, so I left my job to care for her full time. And for a while, it was sort of all right because we could go out together and we'd go around gardens and little by little, these things disappeared from her. And then we started to enter the really unpleasant phase. She didn't sleep at night at all. Then she became doubly incontinent. And it's so humiliating for the person. But thankfully, by that stage, she was sort of beyond knowing what was going on.
Susie Hewer recounting her personal experience of what happened to her mother who developed Alzheimer's disease.
Well, with us this week to explain more about the causes of Alzheimer's disease, how we can further Susie's mission of raising awareness of the condition and how scientists are trying to develop treatments to halt or reverse the disease are Chris Dobson from the Department of Chemistry at Cambridge University, Jodie Mason, a biochemist at Essex University, and Oxford neuroscientist Richard Wade-Martins. Hello to all of you. First, Chris, tell us what's actually going on in the brains of people who have Alzheimer's disease to cause these symptoms?
The fundamental thing that's happening is that our brain cells, our neurons, are becoming damaged and ultimately dying. The result is that we find it more difficult to remember new things. We start, as the disease progresses, to begin to have difficulty in recalling things we knew before. And ultimately, as you heard from Susie's story, you begin to lose a great deal of control of daily activities, and ultimately you don't even recognise your friends and relatives.
What causes those nerve cells to die?
Well, we now know that it's caused by pathogenic agents. Now, pathogenic agents in this case are not bacteria or viruses from the outside world. They're actually species which develop from our own molecules, in particular proteins. And what happens is that these protein molecules, and proteins, I should say, carry out every process that occurs in our bodies, are breathing, moving, eating, thinking, all are carried out by proteins. We have about 100,000 different proteins, and they carry out all these functions because of their intricate structures. And the way that one can think about these is proteins are made from a series of building blocks called amino acids. But exact order of the building blocks determines which protein you make. And this information is stored in our genomes, in our DNA. So when proteins are made in the cell, they come out as long, thin chains. And to function, they have to fold up into very specific, beautifully intricate structures. And then they carry out their functions. But sometimes these molecules, which are packed together very closely in our cells so we can do fast chemistry and pass on messages, start to clump together. They misfold. They lose their correct structures and start to clump together. In Alzheimer's disease, the primary protein that's involved, or a fragment of a protein, is called the A-beta peptide. And when this protein aggregates, it forms the familiar clumps and plaques in the disease. But actually, we now know that it's not these plaques as such that cause the damage. It's a smaller aggregates, about the same size as viruses or bacteria, that actually interact with the cells and move around and cause the disease to spread. and we can understand how the disease develops through the cells dying and how this can then spread to other parts of the brain.
And Jody, that A-beta peptide that Chris is talking about, where does that come from and what is it?
Well, the A-beta peptide, it's produced from a much, much bigger protein called the amyloid precursor protein. And a couple of enzymes, molecular scissors, come along and snip out this small section from the amyloid precursor protein. And that produces this very small peptide. It's about 37 to 43 amino acids. And it's that peptide that's incredibly sticky. It self-associates and then it forms into these very toxic amyloid plaques.
So cells normally make the beta amyloid precursor protein. It's part of what your cells normally make as part of going about their cellular business in your brain. And for some reason, a chunk of it gets chopped off, which then is what starts to build up into these aggregates in the brain that ultimately lead to Alzheimer's.
That's correct. And these amyloid plaques are exactly the things that Alois Alzheimer would have seen when he was looking down his microscope.
That's a very nice description. And the interesting thing is that Alzheimer's is one of a number of diseases that include Parkinson's disease, motor neuron disease, and even type 2 diabetes, which are associated with these aggregation phenomena of proteins. And what we now know, again, is that our proteins all have a tendency to aggregate, but there are lots of protective mechanisms that come in. Some of them are very emotive words like molecular chaperones that look after our proteins and stop them making these improper interactions. But as we get older, these mechanisms start to get less efficient. And so the molecules start to have a higher risk of sticking together. And once they stick together, then the process is started and progresses. And that's the onset of disease.
I was going to ask you about that because we read in the beginning that one in six people over the age of 80 is affected to some degree. But that means five out of six people, Jody, aren't affected. So what influences the likelihood of people having this big protein chopped up into these small bad bits of protein that then build up?
Well, as far as we know, it's a peptide that's being produced naturally throughout life, expressed in all tissues. But for some reason, I mean, age is probably the biggest risk factor of all, of course. As you live longer, you accumulate more of this peptide. For people with early onset Alzheimer's disease, they're producing more of this peptide. So these scissors are coming in and cutting more often, or there are mutations within the peptide itself that makes it more sticky and therefore more susceptible to aggregate, to stick together into these very toxic plaques. So it's probably down to chaperones not removing the peptide efficiently. But as I said, age is the biggest risk factor. So as you get older, your risks of contracting Alzheimer's disease increases exponentially.
Anything else people can do, Chris, to minimise their risk? Because there's some, it might be apocryphal, claim that people in India have lower rates of Alzheimer's disease, and some have suggested that it could be turmeric in the curry that they're fond of, because turmeric is an antioxidant and it stops you burning out your brain cells and making these proteins that build up pathologically.
I think that there are a lot of very interesting ideas out there, but actually very few of them have got good statistical evidence. And by far the biggest risk factor, as Jody says, is age. And it's really dramatic. You know, at the age of 65, one or two people in 100 will have symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. By the time you reach 85, it could be one in three. And again, I think it's just chance that does this largely, if you don't have a particular genetic mutation.
And just to be clear, this is the loss of brain cells because these proteins are toxic to the brain cells and kill them off.
Absolutely. Once these aggregates start accumulating, and they could start perhaps 20 years before many of the symptoms begin, then they start to kill the cells, and then it becomes a sort of chain reaction, a progressive reaction. But going back to your original comment, in terms of numbers, there are nearly a million people in Britain with Alzheimer's disease. There are over 5 million in the US. So worldwide, it's estimated that there are 40 million. More than half of those are in low and middle income countries. So it's not just a disease associated with the affluent world, because longevity is increasing everywhere. And it's predicted in the next 35 or 40 years, that number will increase by at least a factor of three.
That's worrying statistics there. And the future generation now